Okay, welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, brought to you by eSchool News. My name is Kevin Hogan. I am editor-at-large for eSchool News, and I'm happy to have you with us. Also very happy today to have Mr. Terrence McGovern with us. Terry is beginning his sixth year at Kershaw County Schools in South Carolina, and it's his 25th year in education. Terry, you look way too young to be doing anything for 25 years professionally. Come on now.
You're too kind. You're too kind.
Before coming to Kershaw in 2014, Terry spent 19 years as a special education teacher, assistant principal, special education consultant, and an education associate at the South Carolina Department of Education in the Office of Special Education Services. So you may be getting a little bit of hint of what we may be talking about today with his background. He holds a BA in special education from Clemson, and a master's degree in special education from the University of South Carolina. Terry, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
I want to start off to kind of get the state of play that you have right now in your district. Talk a little bit about, are you fully remote? Are you hybrid? What's the setup and maybe a little background of where, I mean, now we're looking at the one-year anniversary, right?
We sure are, yeah.
So kind
you
of
blink.
Yeah. So where, you know, where were you BP before the pandemic? And then we'll go on and talk hopefully about more glass half full stuff after pandemic. But get started about where you guys are in your district generally, and then maybe more specifically when it comes to your special education services.
Definitely. So to give you a little bit of background, Kershaw, the county itself, last March was one of the early school districts with some fairly high cases of COVID within the community. So we were quite possibly the earliest district shut down in the state of South Carolina. We had to move fast. We're a one-to-one district as it is. So we do have, our students have devices, you know, K through 12. Our special needs students have devices as well. We were able to shift to an e-learning module, which is a little bit different, obviously, than full virtual learning. We had set up our district in such a way that we could use some of our professional development and our student, just specific student days for what we call e-learning, which was had a little bit of asynchronous instruction and those kind of things. Teachers had office hours where students could get on. And so we went into that e-learning mode quickly. And that sort of sustained us as we adapted through the school year. We had to redo some of our policies and procedures around, you know, IEP meetings, around, you know, parent consent. You know, what do you do when you have a parent need to sign off on something and you're virtual? So we had to come up kind of on the fly with some policies and procedures. And we hit the summer, and it was a shift to the idea that our school district, from the start of the year, which we started a little bit late in September, we usually start in late August, but we pushed back a couple weeks, we would offer our parents a face-to-face option, a live virtual option, and an asynchronous virtual option within the school district. So I think we really did a good job of trying to accept the challenges with COVID and to take a lot of mitigating measures. Our superintendent did a wonderful job of doing some things like when students would come in, we had a fever system that actually they could walk through, which was an infrared system to be able to check temperatures. We had isolation rooms in the schools. We had isolation seats on the bus that were separated. We had instructional assistants who were taking temperature and bus assistants who were taking temperature when kids were getting on the bus and that kind of thing. So we offered that face-to-face. Our teachers, you know, were pretty pleased with actually being face-to-face. We had to sort of adjust, though, with the virtual and the asynchronous virtual. So that was an interesting transition. Our schools were fairly independent in how they adjusted their scheduling. So we would have some teachers that might teach a face-to-face class one period in the high school and then do a virtual class. We had some that were taping their instruction and it was asynchronous and it was presented so that the students could, you know, adjust that. We were concerned obviously with our parents who had to work and who were at risk, or kids who were at risk. So we really just felt like we needed to give these options to our community. So we really hit the ground running at the beginning of the school year, and we have pretty much maintained that model throughout the year, with the face-to-face, live, virtual, and asynchronous. We have noted that by setting some markers where students or parents can declare that their children will return to face-to-face instruction, we are able to start to balance out caseloads in the school. And so we've had some fluctuation, and we've actually seen an increase, and I wish I could give you percentage, but we've seen quite an increase in parents who are now electing, as the school year's gone on, to shift to face-to-face learning. Okay. We're using social distancing as much as possible in our schools. We are, you know, using masks. We're learning the whole new world, so to speak. Yep. With you know, how we space out and going into the cafeteria, you know, how we space out in line, how do we play on the playground and keep distance, how do we take mask breaks, you know, get kids out when it's sunny outside and have them apart and taking mask breaks and doing all that stuff. So it's been a real learning process for us.
Now let's get a little deeper into the special ed side of it. And this is the first time in this series of podcasts that we've talked about it. And I'm excited to, because it seems that in special education, there are certain innovations that were already in place before the pandemic that people have used as tools during the pandemic, such as telehealth and things such as that, right? There are also other ways in which schools have gone about bringing back special ed students to begin with at the beginning. And it kind of started face-to-face before they were doing something else. Talk a little bit about your experience with that from the special education perspective.
Yeah, from a special education perspective, it's been a learning process as well, similar to general education. One of the things that we've really had to focus on is, again, just parent participation. And I think previously there was sort of that mindset, and I think there's going to be a nice shift with this as we move forward, that mindset that we always had to meet in person, that everybody had to be together, that we had to assemble the IEP team with the appropriate team members, the related service providers, everybody, and we were going to meet in this single room. As we move through and progress through the pandemic, one of the things we've really found is that we can be in multiple places. So for example, if we have a related service provider that provides services in four different schools and they can't be across town in one of their schools, they can jump on a Google Meet and they can participate in the IEP meeting virtually. I think that's been probably the biggest thing that we've had occur as far as just that opening up the whole new world in that manner. And I think parents have become more comfortable with that as well.